Hello, world! TGIF, thank God it's Friday. Of course, I say the same thing the other 6 days of the week. How are ya? We got news. We got stuff. Call a friend, tell him. He's on the air. We'll get to the news in a couple of minutes. So, are you there today? Where are you in your Christian walk? At what point do you think? If we think of this Christian life as a journey, and it is, then you can number different points along the line, stages of growth, I guess, ones you need to reach en route to a spiritual maturity. The first two, of course, salvation and service. When you begin your trip in the same place, spiritually dead and uninterested in what matters to God, according to Ephesians 2, 1 and 2, there's only one way to receive spiritual life, and that's through trusting Jesus Christ as Savior, who took our place and bore our judgment for our sins. He died so that we might become spiritually alive. At salvation, we receive the Holy Spirit, who creates in us a desire to know God and His Son Jesus. You know, and as we learn about our triune God, our faith is going to deepen, and our hearts are going to swell with thanksgiving. Is that you today? Gratitude will lead us on to the next step then of our journey, which is serving Him. You'll desire to give something back to God in appreciation for His love and generosity to you. And rather than deciding what we want to do in life, we're to ask God what His plans are and how we can join His plans, Ephesians 2:10. As a child of God, you're to listen attentively for the call and focus your mind and heart on obeying. And over time, the Spirit will bring forth fruit in you. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Let's pray. God will draw us into unity of service with other believers. Oh, it's a great way to walk this Christian walk. You'll love it. What in the world is going on at the border? Oh, you know what's going on at the border. I guess I should be happy that my house here in Fort Wayne, Indiana is, well, it's worth a whole lot of money. Is that a good sign? Oh, we're in a mess here. So many people flooding across the border. Now the Biden administration says, don't let any drones fly around the border. Why? Well, because we're being inundated with people. The pictures from the southern border are just shocking. They're so real. You can't ignore this. In the coming days, you're going to hear what's going on. We are going to be in, well, we are already, a humanitarian crisis along with everything else going on. These people are suffering down there at the border, and that's sad. But you know what's really sad? You're suffering. Sure you are. These open borders, since Biden has gotten into the White House, have caused an unbelievable, deadly crisis in the new America. A crisis among the very people that the United States government is supposedly exists to protect. I don't think our president cares. Close to 100,000 Americans are dead now in America, and something, well, maybe we haven't considered. Drug overdoses. It's all a part of the border problem. Old people, like me. Old people with emphysema in nursing homes and heart problems. These people are dead on the streets, our kids in the prime of their life, America's future, the next generation dead. And they're dead now mostly because of that drug that you've heard about, fentanyl, is streaming out of Mexico. So open borders means much more than this poison in your neighborhood killing your children. Stats released this week show that as of the end of July, fentanyl seizures at the southern border or more than double what they were all of last year. Joe Biden, it's your fault. Open borders mean many more young people are going to die in the days ahead. Joe Biden, it's your fault. Neither he nor anyone else cares, do they? 100,000 refugees died this year? Let's reverse things here. Let's say the Republicans were doing this, huh? If 100,000 Afghan refugees died this year of anything at all, that would be the major talking point with all the lefty loonies from coast to coast. CNN would be doing a special every day. What happened to the Afghan refugees? Who's in charge? that would be the big issue in the United States of America, but 100,000 American kids? Joe Biden never talks about it. You know why? Joe Biden doesn't care. And drugs are hardly the only disastrous effect of these borders. The median price of a new home right here in Fort Wayne, Indiana, is now almost six times higher than the American household income. And that is scary. Just think about it. That's an unbelievable record. It's never happened before. It's never been more expensive than right now to buy a home. If you're a young person, you and your girlfriend are getting married, going to try to start a life in this country, it's a disaster for you. So why is this happening? Well, overcrowding, for one thing. It's that simple. It's called supply and demand. No one talks about it. But since 1990, the United States of America has 100 million new people. Wow, 100 million. How long ago was 1990? For me, it seems like yesterday. And thanks to the lefty loonies who are now in charge, this unsustainable growth is accelerating in ways never imagined, and we don't know what to do. Under Joe Biden, hundreds of thousands of immigrants are coming into the United States of America every single month. Camp Atterbury here in Indiana heard from my friend Jim down in Columbus, Indiana. What is going on? 7,500 to 15,000 Afghans now at Camp Atterbury. What does that mean? Jim just asked an official there, this happens to be a friend, where are these people going to go? He said they're already going everywhere, and it's just scary. These people, in many ways, are just scary. You take them out of a lifestyle in Afghanistan and bring them here. We are in two different worlds, and you're going to see things you'd never dream possible in America. Oh, I could go on and on. It's the new America, a flood of evil. I'm not sure why this one is making such national news. A 23-year-old gal who is a face and voice on the internet, blogging and vlogging and live streaming, etc. Never heard of her before, but nearly every day it's being led in the national news. Gabby Petito. Well, she's just disappeared, and her boyfriend won't say a word to anyone, and maybe that's the interest. Concerned parents in Northport, Florida are set today to protest outside the home of Brian Laundrie, the person of interest, her boyfriend, urging him to speak out and cooperate with investigators. Family says, we're all trying to find out answers, and the only person who knows is sitting in that house and won't speak to anyone. Gabby Petito's father, Joe, said on Hannity last night, you can't have a more frustrating situation in your life. Look where we are. I would agree. We'll see where that one goes. The top U.S. military officer said on Friday, today, the calls he made to his Chinese counterpart in the final stormy months of Donald Trump's presidency were perfectly within the duties and responsibilities of his job. Oh, a lot of people want to hang this guy. Who's telling the truth? Well, in his first public comments on the conversations, General Mark Milley said calls are routine and were done to reassure both allies and adversaries in this case that it's all in order to ensure strategic stability. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff spoke to the Associated Press and another reporter traveling with him in Europe. Milley is at the center. The firestorm amid reports that he made two calls to the general there in the People's Liberation Army to assure them that the United States was not going to suddenly go to war with or attack China. Now, descriptions of the calls made last October and in January were first aired in excerpts from the forthcoming book Peril by Washington Post journalists Bob Woodward and Robert Costa. The book says Milley told the general over there in China that he would warn them in the event of an attack. Really? And then Milley added, I think it's best that I reserve my comments on the record until I do that in front of the lawmakers who have the lawful responsibility to oversee the United States military. I'll go to any level of detail Congress wants to go into this in a couple of weeks. What do you think about that? And speaking of lefty loonies, we were talking about lefty loonies. We're always talking about lefty loonies. Here's the Queen, Nancy Pelosi. Did you know that you are a part of a cult? Most of you listening to this broadcast, you're part of a cult. She slammed Republicans while traveling abroad in the United Kingdom yesterday, saying that they are bad. Bad for America. Republicans, bad for American members of a cult. Do you really think we're ever going to get together? Let's two be... Nah, not going to happen. I say to my Republican friends, said Nasty Nancy. I do have some, by the way. That got a laugh. Take back your party, Republicans. You're the grand old party of America. You've done wonderful things for our country. You now have been hijacked by a cult. That is just not good for America. Where's my gun? Take your party back. Don't let it continue to be dominated by those who want to suppress the vote because they have no positive message to win. Really? The San Francisco Democrat added that Republicans disrespect the beautiful diversity of America and said that GOP members of Congress don't support background check on guns and lotta. Yeah, this is not going to work. And it's true. The Republican Party is divided between those who want to do right and the others. So we'll see what happens in the days ahead. I continue to tell people, I know this is discouraging. Let's say that a very good conservative, like maybe Donald Trump, or maybe DeSantis, or maybe Abbott, is in the White House the next time around. I think we are at a point in America that it ain't gonna matter. Jesus is coming soon. Oh, no, don't back down. Keep that voice loud and clear. Be a man or woman of God and do the right thing. I'm just kind of telling you what I think is going to happen in the days ahead. But keep on fighting to the last man and woman. What else is happening? Before I do this story, let me just say the world is about 6,000 to 10,000 years old. Why does that matter? Well, they say that fur was worn 120,000 years ago, at the beginning of the Ice Age. Humans likely sported clothes made of jackal and fox and wildcat skins, and that's some of the big story going on today in the scientific world, 120,000 years ago, as opposed to 120 million years ago. I don't know. Let's go somewhere else. How much is a duck worth? I mean, really, how much is a chicken worth? Got two thoughts here. One day a duck called Big Dave was up for auction, an award-winning drake that frequented the breeder shows, a fine specimen. Everybody said the best. Others couldn't help but agree, but Big Dave is a big character, they say, in the United Kingdom, especially the Turkey Club of the United Kingdom. He was owned by Graham Hicks, and he decided to stop being a breeder and retire, so he's going to put Big Dave up for auction. There were numerous rumors out there that breeders from overseas were looking to acquire this bird. Is a bird, right? And indeed, Big Dave went up for auction, and when the final gavel fell, $2,070, a record-breaking sum for any duck anywhere. And they bought the thing, and they gave it back to the owner as a gift. Isn't that something? So you own the world's most expensive duck. I was just heartbroken yesterday over breakfast with the men at our church. Skip, one of my buddies at church, he'd started raising chickens in his backyard. Single guy in his 70s, and he loved those things. Two free range. He just let these two favorites just roam around, and but this is really pretty cool. Well, he told us yesterday, all 13 of his chickens, two of acted like dogs, I guess, followed him around his garden, the yard, everywhere he went. They were his pals. They were all killed. What's a chicken worth? Just something to think about. Experts think it may be a red-tailed hawk or even an eagle. In any event, they're all gone. And from our Do You Really Care department, I got this letter, and I've just been going over some of the mail I received while I was down in Tennessee. Dear Mr. Patton, I wrote to you at WHCB, but not sure you're going to receive my letter before you leave. There are so many families losing their homes and their jobs due to fires and hurricanes and floods and these mandates. Please consider asking single and retired families and even regular families to open their homes to some of these people. I'm a relatively healthy 72-year-old, a retired nurse, widow, living alone, and I would be willing to take in a Christian, vetted single mom with children. I have a soft spot for single moms and also healthcare professionals who will lose their jobs due to the mandates. Isn't this an axe thing? Persecution? I'm not wealthy, however my home is paid for. I have a fenced backyard and I live in a quiet neighborhood in Elizabethton, Tennessee. I do not have internet or Wi-Fi or cable or a dish by choice. I have games and movies. I could help some with homeschooling. I know the Red Cross is an impotent bureaucracy that likes to raise money for things they actually never do. I'm not perfect, but I love God's word. I'm a pretty good teacher, and I'm reasonably intelligent. Thank you for being so bold and risking so much. I think daily about your pain and your Paul-like determination to run the race. Praise God. And then this woman gives me her address and phone number, and I don't know, I was just really impressed by this. Who wouldn't be? And I have her address and phone number, if you're interested. Where's my Bible? Life 101, right after this message. Well, I'm telling you, they certainly didn't share in my excitement talking with family and friends about being down there in Tennessee at the radio station and people coming in to have their picture taken with me. Up here, folks were asking, why? I'm on the radio and I'm, why? People want to support a conservative voice, I guess, and they see, why? I told them one family took us out for a steak dinner. Why? Man, really deflate my balloon, I'll tell you what. Isn't it something when you're around someone all the time? And oh, I think about marriages, husband and wives, don't take things for granted. No. There are people out there who really care. And by the way, so grateful to those of you that are supporters of Greg Patton Ministries. I love your mail. I love your hugs. I love your picture taking. I love it when you send us finances to the cross for Greg Patton Ministry. It is fantastic. I know why. Well, if you've ever heard me preach in person, and even sometimes here on the radio, I'm pretty good at holding it back on the radio. I'm a crybaby. Lots of emotion. I've been that way for a long time, especially since I've been saved, I guess. My dad used to tell me, a real man doesn't cry. Really? He said, the only time you're going to cry, son, is if you're hit over the head with a 2x4, and that's because of the pain. Jesus wept. Yep. And we're all different. Everybody. Some people show little or no emotion. I tell you, I cry when people walk down the aisle for salvation. But here's a problem. It's called the burden. Let's call it the burden of emotional baggage. Our emotions exert a very powerful influence over our lives. Would you agree with that? You can hear about people being ruled by their emotions, caught up in their emotions. Oh, I've heard that one a lot. Or even, oh, he or she's lost in their emotion. Sometimes our emotional drives can be healthy, such as a new husband's loving desire to care for and protect his woman. Why, of course, that's good. Other times, however, emotions can take a negative turn and work against you and work against your faith and work against your usefulness in the kingdom of God. How is that possible? When we talk about emotions, we've got to realize that we do have a choice. Either our emotions control us or we control them. When we allow ourselves to be governed by our emotions, the results can be painful and often devastating to our lives. Negative emotions place us in bondage. I talk about this in my new book, The Invisible War on the Saints. You can have bondage to anger and fear and resentment and hostility, lust, jealousy, uncertainty, unforgiveness. That's just a few. The heartbreaking fact is that most people are never even aware that they are enslaved by their feelings. Have you ever thought of this? Here's the truth. If emotions were visible, you would see people walking around with a tremendous amount of baggage strapped to their backs, being held in their hands. And this baggage weighs heavily on their hearts, beloved, leaving these people frustrated, stealing their joy, their peace, their contentment from their lives, and not realizing the damage that is being done. Many people continue to go about their daily lives with this emotional baggage firmly attached. Over time, however, these destructive feelings can become, well, rooted in their personalities. If, for example, you lovingly stepped in and tried to relieve some of that load, these people may feel as though a part of themselves somehow is missing. You've heard this before, I'll bet you have. If they've lived with unforgiveness or anger or bitterness for any period of time, I'm sorry, but they may simply not know, how do I live without this? Therefore, they continue on with a life of bondage. The enemy has them. They've given ground to the enemy. And obviously, this is not the life that God would have for them. He created you and me to exist in, get it now, joy and contentment, even in the midst of trouble and adversity and trial. Bondage of any kind is contrary to His perfect will for your life, if John 8:36 is true. I mean, the Bible says there, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Likewise, the apostle instructs, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, you keep standing firm. Do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery, Galatians 5:1. Oh, I'm serious. Emotions are a beautiful gift from God. However, because we live in a sinful world, and that gift, you need to understand, can be certainly misused and abused when you interact with other people. What should our prayer be today? That you begin to see the beauty of your God-given emotions as you learn to set down the healthy baggage of the negative ones. Think about it. Well, last night, family took us out for, a dinner for my wife. Her 75th birthday, going to happen tomorrow. I was watching my granddaughter with her very expensive iPhone 12, a super cell phone. My goodness. Kids want things like that today, and they get them. When I was that age, I just wanted the Crayola 64 package. Easy for me to be happy, even like today. It doesn't take too much. That's it. My goodness, the weeks just fly by anymore. Why is that? When I was young, the days were so long. Hey, join me for now on Facebook, Greg. Jerry G. Patton, P-A-T-T-E, and don't forget this weekend, the family that prays together, worships together. Well, you know all that, just do it. Until Monday, God bless, have a great weekend.